This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is incredible.
You know when you get the text about your STI results?
The three pie now.
Lads, I've been getting the spreadsheets ready.
He knows his stuff, this boy.
Or go down the Harry Potter route and send an owl.
Well, I think we should get on the Wembley headphones.
By the end of the tournament, there may be a kiss.
Edison invented the light bulb.
And naturally, we had to get Mike Dean to a chicken shop.
You're on the moon! Hello and welcome to That Peter Crouch Podcast with me, Peter Crouch. We've got Statman Dave and Chris Stark with me as usual for what is the final episode of the World Cup series. What a World Cup, lads.
Wow. I mean, where to start? Obviously, we're going to get into the final. And I can't wait to hear both your experiences of it. But it has been, it's been such a strange tournament in many ways, but enjoyable as well. And like we said at the start of this tournament, there will be stuff that just emerges that will be special to this tournament that we can discuss. Housery being a major topic of it. we saw some of the world-class housery on display in that final, didn't we?
We saw Emi Martinez's housery rate must be 2,000, 3,000% at the moment. Sensational housery.
There is something to be said for how important it is in that game and what part it had to play. We said in the last pod, we almost signed off going, you know, could the housery of Argentina be the difference between the two teams? And there is an argument, perhaps, to say that that was what tipped the balance in the end.
When it went to penalties, like, you just fancied sort of Martinez over Lloris, didn't you? That, for me, was the big factor. And everyone goes on about the penalty takers. And of course, yeah, the penalty takers are key, but the keepers have to face all the penalties, you know? And if you've got a top level Hauser in nets, I always think you've got a chance.
I can't wait till we get into all of this today. So much to discuss. And thank you for the many hundreds, if not thousands, of messages that we've received since the last podcast. So many questions. It'd be good to get into some of them as well. And also, how many people have enjoyed this World Cup series? It's a bit of a different one for us. We're recording all of this remotely. Dave's in his cave. Crouchy's on holiday. He's just told me he's just got off a jet ski. I'm in my garage. It's absolutely sloshing down. I mean, it's really pissing down outside here. And Crouchy's looking so smug on the cam at the moment.
It's what you want to hear, though, when you're away. You do want to hear that, don't you? Listen, I'm back for Christmas. So I'll be back amongst it. But at the moment, it is paradise.
So where did you enjoy the game, Crouchy? Do you want to set the scene? And how did Abby find the final?
Do you know what? So we went for dinner and then we got a little boat over to another island and they set up a big screen on the beach. And it was very sort of, you know, if it had been England, it would have been a very different scenario. But it was quite reserved. It was quite relaxed. You know, there was kids running around and we were just watching the game really casually, really. And obviously when it went to the point that it went to, when it sort of went to 2-2, everyone started piling in. And, you know, Abby, all the girls that weren't particularly interested in football started watching. And I think that's what's so special about the World Cup, isn't it? It's like, you know, people that don't watch football as often as we do get really into it and start, you know, feeling the buzz and the World Cup fever took hold. And thankfully, that's what happened this World Cup. It changed people's opinions of what they see as a boring game, if you like. Because if you don't like football, having watched this World Cup, you know, I feel sorry for you. And hopefully, you've got involved because it was incredible the whole way through.
It's one of those things, Crouch. I really, really agree with you there that this should pull more people into the sport. And why we love it, that's why it's so beautiful, because everyone, like, it was insane. I was sat in the pub with I think like six of my mates just drinking pints, and it was just insane. I don't know, what a moment.
And also, you know, quite often we bill it as, you know, it gets billed with the two best players, like Mbappe versus Messi, and quite often that doesn't it doesn't come to fruition, does it? But then you see Mbappe gets a hat trick, you know, Messi scores the winning goals, you know, he scores his penalties. They both play fantastically well. And it was looking like it wasn't going to be Mbappe's night. And then, you know, because let's be honest, Argentina dominated the game. But we got the star performers performing to their best, the teams performing to their best. We got goals, we got drama, and we got shithousery. What more do you want?
Has there ever been a final with three penalties, Dave? I'm not sure.
No, I think this is the first one where we had that amount of penalties. I'm pretty sure Argentina, their six penalties over the tournament, which was the most of any side ever.
Yeah, but at least the referee was consistent. Whether or not you think it was a penalty, he was consistent in sort of the awarding of them, I think it's fair to say. And it made it bloody exciting for it. I mean, talk about pressure penalties, Crouchy.
Oh my God, the pressure on them. But also, you know, even when they got it back to 2-2, you thought, oh my God, this, you know, France's name's on it now, you know, and they've got the ascendancy. So quite often, like psychologically, you feel like when you've lost, you've almost lost the World Cup, quite often you can go, you know, oh, everyone's down, you know, so the character of France to come back and then the character of Argentina to go again. Because let's be honest, France didn't have a kick in the first half.
I think it really showed the quality of their bench. I think that was something that England have got in abundance as well, just the quality on the bench, and it just changed the game. You know, you're thinking Deschamps completely lost his head. Look, I've been there, Football Manager. You know, you're 2-0 down in a fight. You're fuming, and you make those subs that early. But, you know, it kind of made a bit of an impact, I think, on the in the longer term of the game. I think it did make a bit of an impact.
Of course it did.
Definitely. I thought Camavinga come on as well, and Koeman, yeah. I thought both really impacted the game, and taking Giroud off so early as well. Like, you know, big calls he made there, and, you know, very, very close to getting the back in it.
Can we talk about the Mbappe finish as well, Crouchy? I want to get your striker's take on that goal.
Beautiful, beautiful. I'm not sure if you saw my tweet, which was very similar to... technique to my volley against Trinidad and Tobago. And I had quite a lot of people interact with that tweet, right? And it's quite a few from, you know, various countries, because obviously that's the World Cup's very big, and, you know, it's a global thing. And quite often, I think, you know, quite a lot of people were giving me grief and saying, nah, Mbappe's was miles better.
Sarcasm is sometimes lost on Twitter, don't you think?
Well, it's in the global game that we're in. I think it's irony and sarcasm might be lost. It was one of the worst volleys I've ever produced in one of the biggest stages as compared to Mbappe's, one of the best volleys we've ever seen on the world's biggest stage to win the world. I had one person tweet me say, yeah, but he's won the World Cup and you haven't.
that's you, told, eh?
Crouchy, just on that Mbappe penalty at the end, right? How is he so calm? Have you met any players that are like that?
They're a different breed now, Dave. Like, I feel like even, you know, the England players, like, I don't know. It's just, they seem to be, there's no nerves. Like, I see people to the way they take penalties. I see the way, you know, I always remember, like, the, you know, Trent Alexander-Arnold's first Champions League final. And I can't remember the age he was. It was something ridiculous. And I remember the first touch he had. It was a 50, 60-yard ball over to the far side where he was. And he controlled it, like, with the outside of his boot, like, in the air, and sort of just popped it up and then played another diag. And I thought, just play your way into the game, son. Like... don't be showboating minute one in your first ever Champions League final, you know, just like steam into a tackle or something.
So do you think there's like, no, there's like, because he looked like he was almost laughing when he was taking that penalty at the end. Like, he looked like he was just so relaxed.
I think the players love, you know, when I see these top players now, I feel like they love the pressure. They like being the center of attention. They like that shoulder, that burden. And the top players, I think if you're going to be, and like we're talking Mbappe, Ronaldo, Messi, Lewandowski, you know, I'm talking top, you have to enjoy that pressure, because they have it on them every single game. You know, we're expecting, you know, Mbappe, Messi to produce at the top level in every single game. And when they don't, you know, they're compared to such there's such small margins now that they're compared to. And, you know, for Messi to do what he's done this tournament and, you know, dominate and be, you know, man of the match in almost every game, score the goals that he's done and lift it. When everyone said beforehand, is this his final swan song? And he made it his final swan song. And of course, he's got, you know, stuff to do at Paris Saint-Germain. But I mean, what an amazing tournament.
Stuff to do, like, it's absolutely nothing. But
stuff to do.
Yeah, just a few things to do. Win a Champions League and that. But no, Messi became the first player to score in the round of 16, quarterfinal, semi-final and the final of a World Cup. Wow. Only five players have won the Champions League, World Cup and Ballon d'Or. Rivaldo, Kaká, Ronaldinho, Zidane and Lionel Messi. First player to win the Golden Ball twice, 2014, 2022. It's just ridiculous.
Has Messi completed football, Crouchy?
I believe so.
Okay, one challenge for him left, all right? Newell's Old Boys in Argentina win the Copa Libertadores and the Argentinian League with them. That would be the only thing that I'd say. He doesn't need to do it, but it's like a bonus game for
you
him.
Think that squares it off?
That's done and dusted then.
Either that or, you know, go to Saudi and win their Premier League.
It's what he's always wanted to do, Crouchy.
Well, I guess he might want to do that.
That'll be what he says is the big achievement, though. I can't wait for that press conference. You know? You know, when you're watching the game, I'm interested to know what commentary you were listening to, Crouchy. There was a big thing in the UK, because obviously it was on BBC and ITV, and choosing between the two. And I've noticed this more this tournament than any other tournament, is people, I mean, especially on Twitter, I would say laying into, but being quite vocal in who they want to have as their sort of dream punditry team, ideal commentator, ideal pundit for the final. There was so much chat around this here ahead of the game.
Obviously out here, I didn't get the, you know, the BBC or ITV. It was a local company, but they had, the commentator was Peter Drury and Alan Smith. So we had
nice.
The commentary. And I don't know if you've seen Peter Drury's comments when Messi's lifting it. It's gone viral now. But we were listening to that live and I thought it was spine tingling. You know, sometimes, you know, commentators, and for some reason we do have a huge, it's become a big thing, isn't it? Like the commentator and what they say and what they do. And it's like, you want them in the moment and you want it to be special and you want them to say to be just right. And I think Peter Drury gets it spot on every time. I really do.
I think you're right. Obviously, as a podcast, we've always been big fans of Clive Tyldesley, and Peter Drury, he's had a great tournament, hasn't he? I mean, it's worth a point of note. Just if we're talking about the big players in this tournament, Drury's had a wonderful one. And Tyldesley's a bit like Ronaldo. He went out earlier than expected. You know, I think we're all hoping to see him in the final, him against Drury, maybe.
Well, Clive's busy with Crouchfest now anyway, so we've claimed him now.
Did you see Macron, a lad called Tom, tweeted us? I've got so many messages around the final. It's so good. This had Tom, did you notice, he says, boys, Macron giving Mbappe an absolute parching after the game. Did you witness this?
Yeah. Huge, huge parching. I don't know. Can you imagine Rishi coming on the pitch at the end there and parching Harry Kane?
Embarrassing.
I don't know. It's a strange one, isn't it?
It's always mad in a final when they cut to politicians like that. It's like you've got all the fans and then you've got the presidents and prime ministers. And it's wild seeing them just as football fans, you know, when it cuts away to them.
Well, that's when you realise, like, when you're at a World Cup, like, just how big it is. You know, I remember Prince William and Prince Harry being in the dressing room before games. And, like, you just know it's not a normal game.
Yeah. Yeah, when you've got, like, Prince William and Prince Harry parching you before or after a game, it does suggest it's a biggie, doesn't it?
It certainly does. What did you make of Sergio Aguero going full John Terry?
He was part of the group, though, wasn't he? Because he was apparently rooming with Lionel Messi.
Was he?
Apparently, yeah. So Emi Martinez was bunking with him at the Copper, but then Emi Martinez was bunking now with the Royals with the coaching staff. So he's been there for the long run. Crouchy, does that mean that he gets to go and lift the trophy?
Well, listen, you know, he's had to retire. He's obviously a big part of that squad. And, you know, him and Messi are very, very tight, aren't they? You know, I'm pretty sure Messi's godfather to his son. And that son, bearing in mind, has got Sergio Aguero for a dad, Diego Maradona as a granddad, and Lionel Messi as his godfather.
Fucking hell, he's just played the system there. Do you know what? What's stopping one of us doing that? Like, why didn't I think of when my son was born just making Messi his godfather? Because it would be really rude for him to say no to it. But do you know what I mean? Like, just sign up someone like that, financially secure, you know, a fucking legend, and just, you know, always tell your son, whether Messi knows about it or not, that he's in fact his godfather, you know, and then let the child one day turn up at Messi's door. It really has been, it's been a weird and special World Cup having it this time of year. All sorts of stuff that's happened. We did mention that we'd like to do some sort of separate podcast World Cup awards for this tournament, for themes from this podcast, which ironically have ended up going quite mainstream throughout the tournament. There's a lot of people who've been listening to this. So where would you like to start, boys?
Start with the Golden Ball, Chris.
The Golden Ball. So the podcast Golden Ball. Okay, explain.
Yeah, so FIFA have been busy. They've got a technical study group who award the Golden Ball to the best three players, or the sort of the Golden Ball, the Silver Ball, and the Bronze Ball to the three best players at the World Cup. The technical group have gone with Lionel Messi Golden Ball, Mbappe Silver Ball, and Luka Modric Bronze Ball. What do you reckon, Crouchy?
You can't really disagree with that. I think, you know, Lionel Messi's part of a team that's won it, and Mbappe's part of a team that's finished second, so Silva, Modric third, and the best players in those three teams are Messi, Mbappe and Modric. I can't disagree with that. I think there's been some great surprise packages, you know, obviously Morocco being one of those as well, and some good players in other teams that didn't progress maybe as far as they should, but that's the three I would pick, yeah.
Okay, well, I don't think there's any arguments there. Should we move on to the podcast Golden Glove? Which, by the way, let's talk about this, because it's going to lead to a whole chat on housery, isn't it? But Dave, set up the Golden Glove.
So, lads, on to the Golden Glove. Again, there's a little committee, a technical study group, the absolute nerds, they're picking this. So they're going with Bono, they're going with Martinez or Jordan Pickford.
There's only one winner there. I just think Housery, what, you know, Housery has become a huge part of goalkeeping, as it seems. And Emi Martinez has dominated. I mean, brilliant in penalty shootouts. Thought he played really well. He came and claimed things. And yeah, I think the other two goalkeepers have done well as well. But Martinez is the standout candidate there, surely.
Yeah, so it starts with clean sheets, doesn't it? That's how it's done. And then it goes down to that technical group. But what a guy. And firstly, can we give an honourable mention to the trophy itself, which looks like something out of Art Attack? It's a golden hand. It looks bizarre when you see a player holding it.
Did he disrespect it by humping it in front of the
so good
FIFA delegates?
Did he disrespect the trophy? I've never seen someone thrust their cock into a trophy on the pitch. Have you seen it happen off the pitch, Crouchy?
Obviously, you see players drinking out of it. I've never seen anyone boning a trophy. No.
I really want it to catch on. I want this to happen with every major trophy now. I want this to be a thing that if you win one, that's how you celebrate with it. It was wonderful to see. And the guy's reaction, and you'll have to excuse me, I'm sure he's a very important Qatari official. The guy's face behind, he was absolutely disgusted at what he was seeing.
It was just passion. That was it. He was just very passionate about winning the Golden Gloves. He wanted to show some passion to the trophy.
Complete shithousery, even after the game. You know, even after the game, complete housery of the finest.
But what was that? What was he doing? Because it wasn't even like he had the glove end on his cock, which I would say is funny, right? Because it would look like a golden hand job, which in that situation would be some astonishing housery. Hand job housery. But he's gone the other end with it. And that's what baffles me about it. And I was just desperate to see what he then did with the actual World Cup. But he didn't go there. He didn't go there.
No, no, no. I think you've got to respect World Cup. I think that's too far.
It was so good.
That's too far, that. The Golden Glove's a new kind of vibe, isn't it? I think you can... It's the World Cup's not to be disrespected, I don't think, in that manner.
Yeah. So, Dave, was he statistically the best goalie?
So, if we're actually looking at the stats, Livaković, the Croatian keeper, prevented the most post-shot expected goals. So, he saved Croatia 3.5 goals in the tournament. Also, saved the most penalties. He had a really, really good all-round tournament. So, I'd say it would have been if Livaković made it to the final. And I think, you know, put in a good performance there. But I don't think we can ignore the impact of Emi Martinez's housery on the two shootouts.
He was dancing away. He'd throw the ball away. Did you see that? Like, he would, when he got the ball, he'd just throw it off. I mean, as a striker, how would that have affected you, Crouchy, do you think?
It's just not ideal, is it? I think, you know, little things like that, you know, they are taking your focus off the penalty, no matter what you say, because you go, right, oh, he's thrown the ball. And you think about him being a twat. And then you think about, you've got to go and get the ball. And you're trying to focus as much as you can, but you're thinking, I just really want to score this now. And, you know, of course you want to score it anyway, but you really want to stick it to him. But having said that, he's also great at saving them. He throws himself at them, doesn't he?
So I suppose it's kind of like, you know, do you go too far with Housery at times? When does kind of confidence become arrogance in a sense? I've dug out some quotes from goalkeeping coach Neil Cutler, who was a driving force behind Aston Villa signing Martinez. I went to the sporting director with a PowerPoint presentation so the club could understand how he was going to be the goalkeeper he is now. The biggest thing that we worked on is about his personality. That really comes across now. He plays with a confidence and an arrogance that he didn't have when he first arrived. He always been confident in his own ability, but we needed to get that to come across in games. That's when he's at his best. When he's not arrogant, he's bubbling on the edge. He's very confident. He's not bothered with about a backlash or the unsporting like behavior. He just goes and does it.
He's an amazing character. Do you not remember when he had that last game at Arsenal? And I think it was an FA Cup match, and Arsenal played him. I might be wrong on the FA Cup thing, I'm just going by memory here, but he played and then he cried at the end of it. Do you remember that? And it was because he was leaving. He was so proud to have got that game for Arsenal. And then he made that move and just had a phenomenal start at Villa. But it's interesting to see how aware they were of his personality and how it could be used to their advantage, considering he wasn't playing that many first team matches.
I liked him at Arsenal. I remember he came in towards the end. And he played and everyone was like, you know, it was a bit surprising him, you know, Arsenal selling him at the time. Because I thought he had a shot to be Arsenal. I remember saying it at the time. And I thought Villa got a really, really good goalkeeper there. But even his quotes after the game, I don't know if you saw them, saying during the 2014 World Cup, I was having a barbecue with my friends in Argentina. I remember crying because we lost to Germany. During the Russia 2018 finals, I was in the stands with my brother and I told him that in the next one, I would be there. It's a great story, that.
I think when you look at it as well, Crouchy, with that type of confidence, is that just a point in your career where you really just start to believe in what you are as a footballer?
Yeah, I do. But also, you know, it's a great quote because he's done that. I think there's plenty of players who sat there at 2018 and went, I'm going to play in the next one and they're fucking nowhere near it.
I'm going to say it now. I'm going to play in the next tournament. We should get this Neil Cutler on the pod because I'm fascinated behind the importance that's put on psychology and how much how much weight there is on that when deciding to sign a player, or how you deal with that, or how you get the best out of these different characters. And you talked right at the start of this podcast about the mentality of Mbappe, for example, taking that penalty and enjoying it. And Crouchy, you were saying these players are just made in a different way. And I do wonder if it's people like Neil Cutler, who we should maybe get on just to get that insight into how it works and how they deal with that, and what is different. Like, if there is actually some major differences between your experience as a player and maybe what some of the newer players are being kind of exposed to going through.
But this kind of goalkeeping houser has been going on for generations, hasn't it? You remember Bruce Grobbelaar's spaghetti legs in the European Cup final, like things like that, like Jerzy Dudek kind of like replicated. I remember Jamie Carragher telling him to do something that unsettles them, and him, you know, trying to do that. You know, the even standing one side of the goal, like penalties in training, you expect, you know, 9 out of 10 go in, you know, but in a tournament with the pressure, it's all about psychology. Everyone can take a penalty. Everyone can score one. We're professional footballers. It's 12 yards out. You know, you should be scoring them. It's all about the mentality and the psyche.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Should we move on to the Golden Shin Pads? Now, this isn't a FIFA-recognised award. This is purely a podcast one. And I did originally think that this could be some sort of defensive award, because there's obviously a lot of chat in major tournaments around strikers, and I think it'd be good to look after the other end. But actually, I'm using this as a kind of housery award, if you will. So some of the top shithousery that we've seen throughout this tournament is going to be represented in the Golden Shin Pads. I've got a couple of nominations for you boys that can help focus your mind. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. So this year's Golden Shin Pads winner will be one of three people, and I'd like you to discuss who deserves it. I'm open to you suggesting someone else. First up, we've got Kim Jong-un, and that's because North Korean state TV aired its first ever South Korea football match this World Cup, which happened to be the 4-1 defeat to Brazil.
Broadcasting housery there. Broadcasting housery from King Jong-un. You'd expect nothing less.
Deserves a nomination there for a Golden Shin Pad. We've got Argentina in general. I've just grouped the whole team into it. We've obviously been talking about Martinez's, you know, penalty shootout housery. But the whole team, I think, has had a fantastic tournament in terms of housery. And finally, a nomination for a Golden Shin Pad. I've written down Statman Dave. And this is for predicting Serbia to win the World Cup, and then implore all of our listeners to go about their day, you know, suggesting that they have kind of decent insight into this tournament, because Serbia are going to be a dark horse and an underdog, but they'll do it and they'll go far. It was awful from you, Dave.
Yeah, that wasn't great. I did pick Argentina as favourites to win it at the start, but that doesn't matter. I've let myself down.
So, yeah, three nominations there. Who would you like to award the Golden Shin Pads to?
It'd be easy to go with Argentina. I think Kim Jong-un has obviously excelled himself there with the broadcasting housery. But Statman Dave, I think, should win this award. Purely on the basis of, you know, the fact that he's housed our listeners to the point where they're all sheepish going into work. They're embarrassed. And, you know, he's carried on like nothing's happened. I think the Golden Shin Pad goes to Statman Dave this year.
Absolutely. I'd like to give an honorary mention to a listener called Jay, who messaged us this. It says, I've just booked Vanuatu for April. You boys will be pleased to know. My missus has no idea why I was so keen to go to Vanuatu. But let us know if you want a live report in April. Then he's put the hashtag honeymoon housery. So he's managed to, by the looks of it, book a honeymoon to Vanuatu. Sold it as like, oh, we'll go to this amazing place. But he's purely done it because he listens to this podcast.
Incredible scene. That is absolutely incredible. Jay, we salute you. Passing the pod.
All right, then. Couple more awards. We've got the golden water bottle. This award goes to the most parched this tournament, and we've got some good nominations here, Crouchy, haven't we?
Yeah, we certainly have. You know, we had Japan, several examples of parchiness in Qatar, their fans cleaning the stands to leaving the dressing room in immaculate condition. Many would say respectful, shows what a nice nation they are. Yes, I agree. Also parched. But England is another one. Might be surprised to find out that, you know, England are parched. They received the FIFA Fair Play Award for receiving just a single yellow card this tournament. And that was in their final game. We are a nation of parched.
Mm. That's amazing. So you're saying the FIFA Fair Play Award is almost a kind of parchy thing to get.
Well, I don't know. It's not something that's ever on your radar, is it? But it's quite parchy, yeah.
I would like to throw in a quick nomination for President Macron with Mbappe as well. he's an outside chance for the golden water bottle.
Also because he offer Benzema to fly on his plane with him out there. So he tried to parch Benzema. He pied him off, so he was parched Mbappe instead.
Shocking.
Any other nominations, guys?
Yeah, so Emi Martinez, as I mentioned before, spent the whole tournament sharing a room.
He's on every award, by the way. Every award.
He's had some tournament, hasn't he?
Sharing a room with the member of the coaching staff due to Aguero taking his place in Messi's room. It's pretty parchy, that, to spend it with the coaches, Crouchy.
Yeah. I mean, that cements his place in the team, doesn't it? You know, the manager's getting reports back. Yep, he's sleeping well. He's eating right. He's doing the right things. Cements him in as number one. And who's to say, you know, Argentina have other good goalkeepers. And he's been played throughout the tournament. Maybe that was down to him being parched.
We've got to give it Japan, haven't we? Surely.
I think it's got to go to Japan, yeah.
The nation of Japan have won this year's golden water bottle, according to that Peter Crouch podcast. We got any more awards?
We got the Golden Man Batman Trophy. Right. Obviously, we came
right. Might need to explain this one, Dave.
Yeah,
that famous trophy.
Bit of a weird one. But obviously, we've been sent in so many good nicknames over the tournament. We still haven't found Wayne Bruce, but you've sent in some banging nicknames. Jason Cummings, of course, was the one that kicked this all off. Cum Dog or Cum Dingo by the Aussies, of course. We've got Paul, who had a bald mate, who called his one of his pals J9, because that was the junction from Leatherhead, which I thought was very, very good.
Oh, that's genius. Okay, I see where you're going with this. So, yeah, in case you've not heard this in another podcast, Wayne Bruce, there was a fellow called Wayne Bruce. His nickname was Man Bat, which is just
one of my favorites.
Just unreal, isn't it? I think there was a bigger story behind that. You'll have to listen back to another podcast. But yeah, we've been asking for your nicknames throughout this tournament. That's a really good one from Paul, J9. But Cum Dog's had a major tournament, hasn't he? So they're selling shirts. I saw about this yesterday. So they were selling Australian shirts with Cum Dog and the number 69 on his back. He's really had a great tournament in terms of nicknames, hasn't he?
Yeah, superb. And keep sending them in, because this is something that I want to continue throughout the podcast. You know, if you've got a mate who's got a, you know, fantastic nickname, I mentioned, you know, someone that I know called James Pond, who's 006. there's a few. We also had this voice note from Ryan Dingling.
Afternoon, Chris. Just listening to one of the older podcasts at the minute from, I think, a couple of weeks ago. And I've just got to the point where you're mentioning nicknames. So I thought I'd get in touch and just highlight a few of the funny names from around our area. The town that I'm from is fairly notorious for having stupid nicknames, and I've had Sunday League sides come over and always mention that everybody has stupid names. So here's just to name a few for you so you can see that as an example. So we have a pooey, a bucket, a handbrake, ratchet jaw, pigeon, rocket, backpack George, bin man Dan, backwards at Joe, turd. Like the list just goes on and on. It's ridiculous.
I love these. I love when you don't get the explanation as to how the name has come about. You've just got to use your imagination. Yeah, Backpack Joe.
It's a mad one. It's like, I've got to give a shout out to one of Abby's dad's mates, actually, Bumplug, because he hasn't had a mention on this pod. Still don't know why, but Bumplug, there's a shout out for you.
Okay, good. Does that conclude our awards? I don't know who we award the Golden Man Bat Trophy to. I think, Crouch, you're saying it's going to be an ongoing thing, even away from this tournament. When we get back into the new series, keep sending your nicknames in. And actually, ideally, do give us stories behind them, because it's good to contextualise.
Lads, before we go, should we just do one message? It's kind of a bit personal to me, so I'll read this one out from Sam Nutt. It slid into the DMs. He said, Bumble have recently added a football fan badge to their app, which people can put on their profile to alert potential partners to the fact they love the sport. Are they nicking the podcast idea? I wanted to let you know, just in case you wanted to get your Statman Dave dating app set up more quickly than you first thought.
Slight housery from Bumble here. They've obviously listened to the pod and seen, you know, the great ideas that we do come up with here. They seem to have added the football fan badge. I'm not sure about this. I don't think it's the same as just banging stats at random people, but it's still a bit of housery, isn't it? Maybe it's something we need to think about.
Yeah, I think you're right. And also, I just think whacking a badge up doesn't do much, does it? You want to see that people know about their football. That's why we encourage you to put stats on your page. Anyone can put a little sticker up. And actually, it feels very unfootball doing that.
No. You want to hit young ladies with XG.
Yeah.
You want to hit them with, you know, games to goal ratios and things like that.
Ex-housery as well. I think that's a new one that you could really, you know, they probably could get quite quickly. Easy explanation.
But it's been a great tournament, lads, and it's been lots of fun doing this podcast a bit differently and doing it twice a week and just chatting a lot about football. Exciting for the Premier League to come back, though, and the Championship for me.
Yeah, I am. I'm really looking forward to it. And you know, there's no rest, is there? We've gone with a great World Cup. It's been so much, it's been so much joy to watch. The football's been great. I think, you know, Messi's got his hands on it. No one can begrudge him that. But we are straight back into the thick of the action, aren't we, as soon as we get back?
We are. And this tournament has kind of thrown up so many good ideas of things that we need to do. And because we've been doing this twice a week, we've been remote, we haven't had a proper chance to give a proper representation of them. But trust us, we are working on Dave Station. It will be live at some point. We will have Dave there on a shade lounge with a phone in his hand, encouraging people to phone him for stats. We will make it happen.
Probably the Snoggies firing stats at you for your pleasure.
I had another one the other day. What was I thinking? You know, because we talked about doing a strip club as well. We talked about like you dancing around a pole, just saying stats and people being on the side, like putting money in your pants and that. That's another thing that we should definitely do. And then the other one was, I was at a wedding the other day and I thought, do you know, everyone does their first dance the same, don't they? They have a song and it's normally Ed Sheeran or something like that. And then occasionally you get a couple who do the dance and then it suddenly cuts in and they do some pre-prepared dance routine. You know, they've had dance lessons, that kind of thing. Oh, lovely. But no one's done a first dance to Dave just singing stats at them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's something we should consider. If you're a football fan that wants a slightly different first dance, we'll happily put Dave out for you.
And then, of course, make sure you do the signing of the contract with the shirt in the background as well.
Yeah.
They're things that I still get thrown out to this day, and I really enjoy them when I see them.
So yeah, lots for us to do. We're gonna have a little break now. We'll be back in the new year, I imagine. I'd love to say there is a serious plan in place. I don't think there is. So we'll be back in the new year. We'll be back into the football. Really looking forward to it. I hope everyone has a lovely Christmas and a really happy new year. I hope you boys have a lovely Christmas.
Yeah, reiterate that. I think we'll be back stronger in the new year, as you know. But until then, Merry Christmas, everyone. Chumbawamba.
Can't wait for the golden shin pads to come. Chumbawamba.
Chumbawamba, everyone.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode is brought to you by aloadofpricks.net. We are the experts in selling houses. Chris couldn't sell his house. What did you do, Chris?
I couldn't sell my house for love nor money, Crouchy. Three different offers I had, all at the last minute, fell through. I turned round to my wife and said, "What can we do to sell this house? Every estate agent is failing us." Then I told her, "Let's go to aloadofpricks.net."
But Chris, what did a load of pricks do for you?
They were brilliant, Crouchy. They sold my house right away. The sign had barely gone up when a well-dressed gentleman came along and offered me twice the asking price.
Chris, would you use a load of pricks again?
I'd use them every time, Crouchy.
Go to loadofpricks.net. They will sell your house like no other. Load of pricks, loadofpricks.net.